Major Barfield plunged in heavily to effect a diversion.
How about your carryings on with the tortoiseshell puss up at the stables, eh?
The moment he had said it, everyone realized the blunder. One does not usually discuss these matters in public, said Tobermory frigidly. From a slight observation of your ways since you've been in this house, I should imagine you'd find it inconvenient if I were to shift the conversation to your own little affairs. The panic which ensued was not confined to the Major.
Would you like to go and see if Cook has got your dinner ready? Suggested Lady Blemley, hurriedly, affecting to ignore the fact that it wanted at least 2 hours to Tobermory's dinner time.
Thanks, said Tobermory. Not quite so soon after my tea. I don't want to die of indigestions.
Cats have 9 lives, you know, said Sir Wilfred heartily.
Possibly, answered Tobermory, but only 1 liver.
Adelaide, said Mrs. Cornett, do you mean to encourage this cat to go out and gossip about us in the servants' hall?
The panic had indeed become general. A narrow ornament balustrade ran in front of most of the bedroom windows at the Towers, and it was recalled with dismay that this had formed a favourite promenade for Tobermory at all hours, whence he could watch the pigeons, and heaven knows what else besides. If he intended to become reminiscent in his present outspoken strain, the effect would be something more than disconcerting. Mrs. Cornett, who spent much time at her toilet table, and whose complexion was reputed to be of a nomadic, though punctual disposition, looked as ill at ease as the Major. Miss Scrawn, who wrote fiercely sensuous poetry and led a blameless life, merely displayed irritation. If you are methodical and virtuous in private, you don't necessarily want everyone to know it. Bertie Van Tahn, who was so depraved at 17 that he had long ago given up trying to be any worse, turned a dull shade of gardenia white. But he did not commit the error of dashing out of the room like Otto Finsbury, a young gentleman who was understood to be reading for the church, and who was possibly disturbed at the thought of scandals he might hear concerning other people. Clovis had the presence of mind to maintain a composed exterior. Privately, he was calculating how long it would take to procure a box of fancy mice through the agency of the Exchange and Mart as a species of hush money. Even in a delicate situation like the present, Agnes Resker could not endure to remain long in the background.
"Why did I ever come down here?" she asked dramatically.
Tobermory immediately accepted the opening.
"Judging by what you said to Mrs. Cornett on the croquet lawn yesterday, you were out of food. You described the Blemleys as the dullest people to stay with that you knew, but you said they were clever enough to employ a first-rate cook. Otherwise, they'd find it difficult to get anyone to come down here a second time."
"There's not a word of truth in it. I appeal to Mrs. Cornett,"
exclaimed the discomfited Agnes. "Mrs. Cornett repeated your remark afterwards to Bertie Van Tahn," continued Tobermory, "and he said that woman is a regular hunger marcher. She'd go anywhere for 4 square meals a day, and Bertie Van Tahn said..." At this point, the chronicle mercifully ceased. Tobermory had caught a glimpse of the big yellow Tom from the rectory working his way through the shrubbery towards the stable wing. In a flash, he had vanished through the open French window.